ज्ञान वल्लभ हरि हर हरि हर हरि हर हर सूर नंदन भज धन सौर नंदन भज धन Sat Shri Sriman, His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON, Founder, Acharya, His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Raj Granta, Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Sri Harinam, Sankirtan Ki Jai. Sri Sri Gornitai Ki Jai. Jagannath Baladev Subhadra Maharani Ki Jai. Hariam Sankirtan Ki Jai Gaur Premanandi Hari Hari Bo. Glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to the Assembled Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. So we will discuss some more on Vaishnav culture, Vaishnav relations, and a little focus about Vaishnav aparad. Vaishnav aparad. The word aparad, the word Radha is in there. So that means against Radharani. Aparada. So something that must be strictly and completely avoided in order to keep the creeper of one's devotional service growing steadily towards the lotus feet of the Lord. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. So this verse is a Srimad Bhagavatam verse, but it's included in one section of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's Ramachandra Puri criticizes Lord Chaitanya. And here, this is from Antya Leela, chapter 8. And this is verse 78, which is the Srimad Bhagavatam verse. Yeah, it's 11, 28, 1. Okay. 11:28:1 here. This verse was spoken by Lord Sri Krishna to Uddhava. In fact, practically the whole 11th canto is Krishna speaking to Uddhava. From chapter 7 all the way through the end. I think there's 22 chapters in that volume. So we'll try what we did yesterday, and everybody did quite well. And as we can chant the verse together. Para Swabhava Karmani Na Prasamsen Na Gahayat Vishvam ekatmakam pasyan cha prakritya purushena paraswabhava karmani na prasamsena garhayat vishvam ekatmakam pasyan prakritya purushena cha. Someone chant.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Sri Bhagavan Vacha.
Parasvabhava Karmani.
Parasvabhava Karmani.
Naprasham Senagarhaya.
Naprasham Senagarhaya.
Vishwamekatma Kampasyan.
Vishwamekatma Kampasyan.
Prakritya Purushena Cha.
Prakritya Purushena Cha.
Parasvabhava karmani
vishwamekatmakam pasyan
prakritya purushena cha. Any ladies have a okay, Parasvabhava Karmani.
Parasvabhava Karmani.
The characteristics or activities of others. Na.
Na.
Not.
Na.
Prasamset.
Prasamset.
One should praise.
One should praise.
Na.
Na.
Not. Na. Garhayet. Should criticize Vishvam, the universe, Eka Atmakam, as one, Pasyan, seeing, Prakritya, by nature, Purusena, by the living entity, Cha, and. So this is part of a Leela, which is going on, and I'll read the verse. One should see that because of the meeting of material nature and the living entity, the universe is acting uniformly. Thus, one should neither praise nor criticize the characteristics or activities of others. Please repeat, one should see, because of the meeting of the material nature and the living entity, the universe is acting. This sannyasi, he's at night sneaking sweets and eats that. And we know that if sannyasis eat too much sweets, they fall down. That's what I heard. Anyway. And so in that way, he criticized Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And he said, this sannyasi, he eats too much. And Lord Chaitanya used to eat a lot. But because he's God, he's a Vishvambar, means one, he can eat the whole universe and still not be full. And still have an appetite. Because he's eating the bhakti that's being offered in the form of foodstuffs. He's not eating like we eat. So, in that, what we say, misguided understanding, he started to find fault with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu decided to cut his eating in half, which really caused the whole all the devotees complete anxiety. Now they couldn't offer as much and as often as they wanted to Lord Chaitanya. And they were unhappy and they were praying, please let this Brahmachandra Puri leave. They were respecting him, and Lord Chaitanya respected him because he was the godbrother of his guru. And they all respected him as being senior, but they didn't appreciate his activities. And therefore, after some time, due to his offenses, he was forced to leave the society, this association of devotees. So this was a major offense. So the idea is that in this verse it says, don't praise and don't criticize, because the universe is working uniformly, and therefore both praise and criticism are considered to be incorrect. When you praise someone, you really can't see everything clearly, and therefore it's usually we go beyond what is required in terms of the proper understanding of the personality. We may say more, or sometimes we even say less. So therefore, this verse is saying that, you know, don't praise. But at the same time, it says, with a stronger emphasis and a complete emphasis, don't criticize. For the same reason, one cannot understand the nature of a personality. Therefore, criticism and praise is always incomplete or wrong. But the verse does give what we say a sub-injunction, which is mentioned in the second verse of the that one can praise. Because it's the nature of Vaishnavas to see the glory and what we say, the good qualities of others, and speak about it. In fact, we find that as a culture within the Vaishnava society is to glorify others, but not pretentiously and not in the name of being known as a praiser or a glorifier. There are some people I'd like to just praise and glorify, but they want to. They do this in the mood of being known as somebody who glorifies and so on. But that pretense doesn't really satisfy the heart. But therefore, one can honestly, and what we say naturally, praise the good qualities of others, and especially we always glorify the spiritual master or the Lord like that. So criticism, this is what we'll focus a little bit on, to criticize others. It's a fault in bhakti, and Lord Chaitanya mentions this in different ways, that one who criticizes or finds fault with others doesn't get his full mercy, or doesn't get his mercy at all. He says, adosha darshi. He uses the word adosha darshi. Adosha darshi means one who does not see faults in others. In the discussion, or what we say in the pastime, with Daksha, finding fault with Lord Shiva, there's many, many interesting points in that particular pastime. And one of them, what happened was, I'll narrate a little bit of that pastime, because it's one of my favorite pastimes, if you don't mind, because it tells us so much. If we study that pastime, we learn so much about Vaishnava culture and how to avoid Vaishnava aparad. Shiva is criticized because his behavior is very, very unusual in many cases. And he wears skulls, and he associates with ghosts and hobgoblins and other lower entities. Sometimes he smears his body with ashes, and like that. So, you know, it's not something you see normally. But Shiva is, you know, he's transcendental to all these, what we say, material considerations. He's almost on the level of Lord Vishnu. And sometimes they say he's a second super soul. He's so powerful. So there was an assembly of great souls. And Brahma was there. Shiva was there. Bhrigu Muni was there. Many of the great souls, saints. And this was a yajna. A universal yajna to purify and to bring auspiciousness within the universe. And Daksha was the presiding personality. When he walked in the room, his effulgence was so bright that everyone, not only just, oh, they didn't think, oh, here's Daksha, let's stand up. His effulgence brought everybody to their feet. He was so bright. He was powerful. He was a Prajapati. He was the son of Lord Brahma. He had many good qualities. But one person didn't move, and that was Shiva. She was in meditation. And therefore, it says that if you're in meditation or you're chanting the holy names of the Lord, you're connected with Krishna anyway. So there's no need to reciprocate obeisances because one is already in contact with the holy name, which is Krishna himself. So Shiva was in deep meditation. Although he noticed Daksha, there was no need for him to get up. And Daksha became offended. Daksha had such popularity and such physical beauty. He was known as a personality who was quite handsome by nature. He was a Prajapati. He was greatly learned. And, you know, his daughter was married to Lord Shiva. And therefore, not getting the respect that he expected because of that pride. He had some pride. Sometimes it says when you have a lot of good qualities, an element of pride becomes easy to add to your good qualities. Because good qualities can bring success in anything you do, can bring a sense of pride. And that pride can destroy anything if it stays too long or it causes one to commit offenses, obviously. And that's what happened to Daksha. And then when he saw Shiva, he immediately started to find fault with Shiva. Immediately. And he started to, he just associates with low-class people. Shiva didn't say anything. He was, what we say, dira. He was absorbed. But it caused, what we say, disharmony in the whole assembly. And then there was some, what we say, fighting going on. And then when Shiva saw that, he just left. But Daksha did one thing. He not only criticized, but he did something even worse than criticism. It's called blasphemy. Tamal Krishna Goswami, in one discussion with Prabhupada, said, what's the difference between blasphemy, criticism, and calling a spade a spade? That's an English terminology, which means when you say something that is actually true. Prabhupada said, blasphemy means that you have all good qualities, but I find some fault. And I make that your characteristic or your character description. You may have so many good qualities and so many, what we say, achievements in so many different ways, but some little thing that a person looks for and then makes that the character description of that person, that's called blasphemy. That's the worst. And that's what he did to Lord Shiva. Shiva's glorified throughout the universe by everybody. Even Krishna glorifies Lord Shiva. Ram. And so, Daksha made a major offense. And it says that in this pastime, it says that what do you do or how do you act when you see a fault in others? And there's four ways to observe an individual, and according to your consciousness, you may see these different things, these ways differently. You may see that person differently. The first is the Daksha way, when you focus on the negative. And then you criticize or blaspheme. That is strictly avoided in Vaishnava culture. The second is you see a fault, but then you think of the good qualities of that person. So you see the faults and the good qualities side by side. And immediately when we see a person's fault, or the fault comes into the mind, immediately focus on the good qualities and neglect thinking about the fault. People have good qualities and faults. So to focus on the faults means to neglect the good qualities, which really is what the Vaishnavas look for. Prabhupada said a Vaishnava is like a bee. He sees, goes for the honey, whereas the fault finder, the non-devotee, is like a fly. He goes for the stool. Same personality may see both faults and good qualities. Focus on the good qualities. A higher than that is one who sees another person's faults as potential good qualities. A person may be, what we say, very passionate by nature. But because he sees, oh, this person is passionate, but they're using their passion to serve Krishna so nicely. So therefore, actually, it's glorious. It's a good quality like that. So to see another person's fault, but to turn it around and say it's a potential good quality, is higher than actually seeing faults and good qualities side by side. And then the highest of all is one who doesn't see any faults in anybody. And that's what we say, pure vision or pure consciousness. One may not automatically or surreptitiously jump to that level, but at least we can work on the platform of thinking when I see a fault, I should look for the good quality immediately. Because as soon as we think of faults, then our mind becomes disturbed and our bhakti becomes, what we say, interrupted like that. So we should dismiss it like that. And then go on to glorify the devotee in our heart or in our mind and to praise them. And that's what makes the society of devotees, what we say, wonderful. Because every devotee has good qualities. What is the main good quality of a devotee? Is that he's a devotee. That's the main good quality. And that's a good quality. It's not something small. That someone who comes to Krishna consciousness and wants to worship the Lord, although maybe in the beginning stages there may be some difficulties or faults like that, still they've come to the right place. So in that consciousness, one should see that because they are the devotees, just like, who is it? Gopal Bhatta Goswami. Sometimes someone would point out a fault in others, and he would say, is he chanting Hare Krishna? And the person would say, yes. Then, as far as I'm concerned, he has all good qualities. So that way he would reject or neglect or not listen to the others speaking about faults of others. And that's called gossip, you know. That's called what they call gramyakata. Gramyakata, talking about others in a derivative or derisive way, or talking about others usedly. You can't stop talking about others. It's just the way life is. You have to talk about somebody. It's just the way it is. But when we talk about somebody, it shouldn't be in a negative way. Or, in the case in Srimad Bhagavatam, when we have the story of King Vena. Now, King Vena was, he was a son of King Agnidra. He came from a wonderful line of Kshatriyas. But he was a rascal. And he simply took the whole Brahminical culture and turned it upside down and started to say he was God and wanted the Brahmins to worship him instead of God. And then he would just, you know, when he was a little kid, he would play with his friends and kill them as part of the game. Not a nice person to hang around with. So he was, you know, from his very birth, he was just very mean-spirited. So it mentions that in explaining the characteristic of King Vena, one has to speak about his activities, but only to point out to others what is his nature, and not in a critical way. He's obviously subject to criticism, or subject to what we say, check for what he has done. But at the same time, it's just an example for what to avoid. As it says, hate the sinner, but don't hate the sin, but don't hate the sinner. And actually, if you study the life of King Vena, as it goes on, later he went to Brahma Sarovara. He actually went to Kurukshetra and bathed in Brahma Kund, and he actually became purified later on in his next life. That's in the Kurma Purana. So that explains that actually, although he committed so many bad don't we say, acts, and he was rejected and eventually killed by the brahmanas just to purify him. Eventually he came back to being at least a pious person because he got the mercy in his next life. So the point was that in the acharyas say that you can speak about a person's bad qualities but not about the person themselves, making a distinction between the person and that way one can point that out to instruct others and to understand what to avoid like that. So that is acceptable. But to find fault, it says, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there's 6 ways to offend a Vaishnava. Would you like to hear it? Okay. I know this class is kind of scary, but we need to hear it because it's important. Because our spiritual life really is situated basically on our relationships. And we have three fundamental relationships with Krishna, with the spiritual master, and with the general body of the Vaishnavas. And of course with people in general outside of Krishna consciousness. So we have 4 actually. So everything is situated on the principle of relationship. It's all about relationship. And developing the quality of relationship is based on the understanding of how to interact with others according to proper etiquette and proper, what we say, understanding. So in every positive injunction, there is always a negative injunction. What to do and what to avoid. So in what to avoid, Bhaktivinoda Thakur explains that there are 6 ways to offend a Vaishnava. And the first one is, or the most severe one, going from the most severe to the least severe, is to kill a Vaishnava, obviously. That's pretty obvious. I don't think we have any problem with that one. But although it's happened a few times in our movement, I can mention one person who, I won't say who did it, but you know we all know Kadambakana Maharaj. He was shot by another devotee. That was back in 1995. So it does happen, but it doesn't happen often. So that's the major or the greatest offense that one can commit against a Vaishnava. To kill, or to even to try to kill. Daksha blasphemed. That's the next one down. We mentioned that. Many good qualities, find some fault, make that fault the character description, broadcast it to others, and want others to think like you do about that person, just to tear that person down. Blasphemy is really, really insidious. It should be avoided at all cases. I don't think the devotees have problems with that one. The next one is to be envious of a devotee. Here we go. Envy. What is envy? We spoke about that the other day. Envy is really a glorification or praise turned upside down. I like something about you, but I don't like the fact that you have it. Or, I want what you have, or you shouldn't have what you have and I want it. Or, I'm not getting what you get. So these are all elements of envy. You're getting praise and I actually deserve the praise, therefore I'm unhappy. Or, you expect something and somebody and you don't get it and you become unhappy because of that. Or you blame others because of that. Envy. How to check envy? Envy is checked only, really, by humble devotional service. To serve the Vaishnavas in a humble way and pray for the opportunity for that service. Envy is it's easy to fall into that. And sometimes we get that feeling in our mind, but just dismiss it. If it comes in the mind, just dismiss it, that's all. And now, in the spiritual world, there's a kind of a spiritual envy, And that's when the gopis see other gopis serving Krishna so nicely, and then that gopis pleasing Krishna so nicely, the other gopis say, oh wow, we want to please Krishna like she did. She did such a nice way, and Krishna is so happy. Therefore, all glories to her, but at the same time, I want to please Krishna also. So that's kind of like a transcendental envy that increases the devotion towards Krishna and is not negative. So Prabhupada said, even in Vaishnava culture, we can think like that. Oh, this devotee did such nice service. Therefore, I should also try to do some nice service too. Not that this devotee cooked nice prasadam and everybody liked it, and therefore, I'm going to steal her vegetables tomorrow so she can't cook. Something like that. So... should have tried to avoid that. So the idea is that we feel happy when someone is going forward, and we feel unhappy when someone is, let me say, not getting the mercy or struggling. So a devotee feels happy on the good qualities and how others are moving forward in Krishna consciousness, like that. So envy should be run. Now, here's the punchline with envy. This, if you listen to this punchline, you'll never be envious again. Okay, you ready? Okay, here you go. That the whole universe and everything within it is working under the control of the Supreme Lord through his different energies. So whatever is happening is all actually meant to happen by the way things happen according to Krishna's will, either directly or indirectly. So if something is happening and you don't like it, or somebody's getting some praise, your issue is with Krishna, not with that person. Because you don't like what Krishna's given to that person. Haribo. So, therefore, we can think like that, we'll think, wow, Krishna is allowing this to happen, or this person is getting the mercy of Krishna. Therefore, all glories to Krishna, because he's the one that's giving it. So, therefore, we understand that Krishna is the complete and supreme controller in all aspects of existence. So, therefore, if we think like that, we'll never have a problem with envy, because we understand things are happening the way they're supposed to happen. And the next one is anger. To become angry at a Vaishnava. One should avoid that also. Anger, what is anger? There's two kinds of anger. I think we were asked that question the other day. The anger that is based on love. When a mother or a parent or a guru wants to correct or discipline their disciples' children, they may get angry as a means for correction, or even means for a punishment that's meant to help that person, you know, stop doing what they're doing like that. That's anger with love. That's acceptable. But the anger that is that I have a desire and my desire is not fulfilled, or do you do something to interfere with my desire, or with you do something that I don't like, and I get angry at you like that. So getting angry at a Vaishnava should be avoided. Even if we feel anger, we should immediately check it with forgiveness. Forgiveness is the antidote for anger. When somebody does something you don't like, learn how to forgive, or first learn how to tolerate, because by tolerance we can come to the stage of forgiveness. But without tolerance, forgiveness is very difficult. Impossible, actually. So anger. Anger is just, always say, frustrated expectations or desires that are unfulfilled. Sometimes we say, this is a little bit off the subject, but it's somewhat relevant, that a person goes through their whole life waiting for the universe to work according to their plans. When will my plans work? Someday. Forget it. Just try to connect with Krishna's plan and the spiritual master's plan, and then you'll be connected to your plan also. We have our desires, but if we align our desires with the instructions of the spiritual master and the understanding of the scriptures as given by Krishna, then we're always happy, because whatever, we don't have any, we're not trying to fulfill our own desires, but we're trying to act in such a way as to please Krishna or fulfill the desires of the spiritual master in anything we do. Whatever it is, even if we want to go to Vrindavan, I want to go to Vrindavan and stay there and be a gopi or a cowherd boy. We should think, oh, does Krishna want me to go to Vrindavan, or does Krishna want me to stay here and do my service? Well, going to Vrindavan is also an injunction in the scriptures that one should visit holy places regularly. But sometimes injunctions come in contact with one's prescribed service.
Mobitel je zelo smiha. Můžete umřežit, to je bolšná.
Máte ráno
obrátno, myslím, to
Я
тут телефон то.
Se je zalilo, pa ja, se je to. Vrat, se je zalilo, pa se je zalilo.